Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 45. In the first half of this chapter, we have the designation of land around the millennial temple for the priests and Levites, as well as the prince. And then in the second half of the chapter, we have more about the millennial sacrifices. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses. Ezekiel chapter 45, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, when you divide the land by lot into inheritance, you shall set apart a district for the Lord, a holy section of the land. Its length shall be 25,000 cubits, and the width 10,000. It shall be holy throughout its territory all around. Of this there shall be a square plot for the sanctuary, 500 by 500 cubits, with 50 cubits around it for an open space. So this is the district you shall measure, 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide. In it shall be the sanctuary, the most holy place. It shall be a holy section of the land belonging to the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary who come near to minister to the Lord. It shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. An area 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide shall belong to the Levites, the ministers of the temple. They shall have 20 chambers as a possession. You shall appoint as the property of the city an area 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 long, adjacent to the district of the holy section. It shall belong to the whole house of Israel. The prince shall have a section on one side and the other of the holy district and the city's property. And bordering on the holy district and the city's property, extending westward on the west side and eastward on the east side, the length shall be side by side with one of the tribal portions from the west border to the east border. The land shall be his possession in Israel. And my princes shall no more oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 45, with some background notes. In Ezekiel chapters 40 through 43, we read a detailed description of a great temple complex to be built in Jerusalem. We showed how this temple does not fit the description of any temple in the past, and it cannot be spiritualized or allegorized to the church today without changing basic principles of interpretation of Scripture. So we believe this temple is a literal temple, yet to be built in the future. Specifically, we believe it will be built when the Lord returns to this earth and establishes his earthly kingdom known as the millennium, and it will last for 1,000 years. In Ezekiel chapter 44, we had a detailed description of the daily operation of this millennial temple, including the functions of the priests who will be in the Levitical line of Zadok. Now here in the first half of Ezekiel chapter 45, we have a detailed description of the designation and division of the land surrounding this millennial temple. This land will be for the priests and the Levites of that day, as well as for the prince, who we saw in chapter 44 was the civil ruler over restored Israel. He will have designated power and authority under the kingship of Christ throughout the millennial kingdom here on this earth. And that brings us now to our doctrinal teaching points for this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 45. So doctrinal point number 1, during the millennium, the land surrounding the temple will be for the priests and Levites and prince. During the millennium, the land surrounding the temple will be for the priests and Levites and prince. When we get to chapter 48 of Ezekiel, we will see that the land of Israel will be divided into 12 strips of territory for the various tribes of restored Israel. These strips of land will run all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River and maybe beyond. Between the strip of land for the tribe of Judah on the north and the strip of land for the tribe of Benjamin on the south, there will be an additional strip of land which will include Jerusalem and the temple complex, as well as land for the priests and the Levites and the prince. That strip of land is described here in the first 8 verses of Ezekiel chapter 45. Now, there is some question as to the exact dimensions of the subdivisions of this strip of land, because we don't know for sure whether the measuring unit here is rods or cubits. In any case, if it is cubits, then a square of land about 8 miles on a side in this strip of territory between Judah and Benjamin will be called the holy portion of the land. It will include the city of Jerusalem, the temple complex, and the land for the priests and the Levites. The rest of the strip of land, to the Jordan River on the east side and to the Mediterranean Sea on the west side, will be for the prince. The 8 mile square of land will be subdivided into several portions. There will be a portion containing the temple complex and its surroundings where the priests in the line of Zadok live. Then there will be a portion where the Levites live. Remember, during Old Testament times, the Levites were scattered among the tribes of Israel. They lived in 48 Levitical cities, 6 of which were the cities of refuge. In the millennial kingdom, the priests and the Levites will be concentrated in the Jerusalem area, the capital of the millennial kingdom. And then, of course, in this 8 mile square area, there will be the portion of land that contains the capital city of Jerusalem and its surrounding lands. Now in verses 9 through 12, in view of the coming righteous leadership of Israel during the millennium, Israel's present leaders at Ezekiel's time are rebuked for their unrighteous leadership. Thus says the Lord God, "Enough, O princes of Israel, remove violence and plundering, execute justice and righteousness, and stop dispossessing my people," says the Lord God. "You shall have honest scales, an honest ephah, and an honest bath." So in view of the future just and righteous leadership during the millennium, there was a call for present social justice and righteous leadership during Ezekiel's day. Let's move now to our second doctrinal point. During the millennium, the sacrifices associated with the temple will not be for taking away sins. During the millennium, the sacrifices associated with the temple will not be for taking away sins. Verses 13 through 25. "This is the offering which you shall offer. You shall give 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of wheat, and 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of barley. And one lamb shall be given from a flock of 200 from the rich pastures of Israel. These shall be for grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings, to make atonement for them, says the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this offering for the prince in Israel. Then it shall be for the prince's part to give burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings at the feasts, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and at all the appointed seasons of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple, on the four corners of the ledge of the altar, and on the gateposts of the gate of the inner court. And so you shall do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who has sinned unintentionally or in ignorance. Thus you shall make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And on that day, the prince shall prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bull for a sin offering. On the 7 days of the feast, he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bulls and 7 rams without blemish, daily for 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a grain offering of 1 ephah for each bull and 1 ephah for each ram, together with a hin of oil for each ephah. In the 7th month, on the 15th day of the month, at the feast, he shall do likewise for 7 days, according to the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the oil. We see in these verses that during the millennium, the prince has the responsibility to provide for all the regular sacrifices from the animals and grain that the people give to the Lord. We see in verse 22 that the prince has to provide a sin offering for himself as well as the people, showing that the prince here is not the Lord himself, certainly not, nor the resurrected David in his sinless body. We also see in these verses that during the millennium, the Jewish feasts will be kept, at least Passover, unleavened bread, and tabernacles. Maybe the other feasts will be kept as well. Once again, in these verses, we are confronted with the difficult question of sacrifices during the millennium. Why are these sacrifices carried out if the Lord has already provided the one great sacrifice of himself as the Lamb of God? Once again, the basic answer to this question is that these sacrifices will not take away sin any more than the Old Testament sacrifices took away sin. As the Old Testament sacrifices look forward and anticipated the coming sacrificial work of Christ, so the millennial sacrifices will look backward and commemorate the completed sacrificial work of Christ. In this way, it is similar to the Lord's Supper today, which will not be celebrated during the millennium. The Lord's Supper is specifically for the church until the Lord comes again. 1 Corinthians 11:26. The time of the church is over when we come to the millennium. Well then, is the millennium a going back to Old Testament times? No, don't think of it as going back, but think of it as a fulfillment of all that Israel and its sacrificial system was meant to be. Israel was to be a holy nation and a light to the Gentiles. The way of sacrifice emphasized that sinners could not save themselves. Finally, during the millennium, restored Israel will be a light to the Gentiles, and the sacrifices of the millennium will point to Christ as the Savior, because he was sacrificed for sin. Remember, during the millennium, the many people who were born during the thousand-year period are sinners with sinful natures and will need to be saved. The sacrifices will point these people to Christ, not only as the King who is reigning over this world, but as the Savior who died for the sins of the world and as their only means of salvation. The sacrifices will not take away sin, but will point to the one who can take away sin. During the millennium, the sacrifices associated with the temple will not be for taking away sins. And now for practical application from Ezekiel chapter 45. Don't cheat your customers or clients. Don't cheat your customers or clients. In verses 9 through 12, we saw Ezekiel's exhortation from the Lord to the leaders of Israel to practice social justice and righteousness. And that included having just weights and balances in commerce. Look at verse 10. You shall have honest scales, an honest ephah, and an honest bath. Verse 11. The ephah and the bath shall be of the same measure, so that the bath contains one-tenth of a homer, and the ephah one-tenth of a homer. Their measure shall be according to the homer. Well, we might as well read verse 9 too, right? Thus says the Lord God, enough, O princes of Israel, remove violence and plundering, execute justice and righteousness, and stop dispossessing my people, says the Lord God. So in verses 9 through 12, we saw Ezekiel's exhortation from the Lord to the leaders of Israel to practice social justice and righteousness. And that included having just weights and balances in commerce. It was easy to cheat by having false weights for your business scales. Such cheating was sin, then and today. There are still easy ways to cheat your customers and clients in business today. How terrible for a Christian to be involved in such a practice. Don't cheat your customers or clients.